This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to part one of a three-part series from MIT's Sloan School of Management. While studying at MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts, I decided to catch up with three leading professionals who were also continuing their education in pursuit of elevating their personal brands at one of the world's leading schools. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show. I am your host, Timothy Maurice, and this is the show where we explore the link between brain power and brand influence. In this three-part series, my hope is that you are inspired by leading global voices and move to advance your goals and dreams. My three guests in this series are a CEO, a brain researcher, and a professor at MIT's Sloan School of Business. I chose MIT to continue my studies not solely because they are ranked as one of the best schools in the world, but because they attract some of the most incredible students from around the world, both in their undergraduate programs as well as their MBA and executive programs. Today, in part one, I share a conversation with Mabel Lee. Right after our class on marketing innovation, I caught up with her. Mabel is the CEO and founder of Velour Lashes, a luxury eyelash business based in Toronto, Canada. Mabel started her business 7 years ago and is now poised for global distribution. But before I bring you my chat with Mabel, allow me to share a little compelling context about the business and psychology of eyelashes. Here are five things you may not have thought about. Number one, by 2020, analysts believe the beauty eyelash business will be a $1.5 billion industry. Number two, your lashes become shorter with age and are a sign of good health. Speaking of health, number three, several diseases and disorders can cause eyelash loss. So many scientists believe this is why healthy eyelashes have become such an important social cue, particularly in a world where signaling your beauty quickly and on social media have become so important. An example is this. The sexually transmitted disease syphilis has been reported to cause eyelash loss. So this is one of the major reasons fuller and longer lashes have become prized throughout the last century. An unconscious way to say, I don't have a sexually transmitted disease. Number four, large round eyes trigger affection and loving feelings in other adults. So large full eyelashes contribute to this effect, drawing attention to the whites in your pupils, also signaling health. Number five, fake eyelashes were invented by a film director in 1916 and was initially used as a tool to promote glamour for actresses. Now that you have a little context and realize just how serious eyelashes are, enjoy my chat with Mabel. So Mabel, you've created a successful eyelash brand in Toronto. What made you get into the luxury lashes business?
So coming out of school, I never had the intention to really get into the luxury lash space. I actually started Velour Lashes because I had a false lash addiction. So it truly was a passion project. For me, when I was in school, I was wearing lashes every day. Lashes was truly my lipstick or foundation for most women. But all the drugstore lashes that we had access to was very uncomfortable. It looked very fake and it was just unnatural on the eyes. And so it almost did exactly the opposite of what I want lashes to do. So I really felt that there was a void in the market for something that I needed, and that was something that was soft, very comfortable, and it looked good on the eyes to help build that confidence rather than make me shy away from it. So on the weekends, my best friend Angela and I decided to actually source different materials. So that was kind of the main reasoning as to why we felt the traditional lashes was very uncomfortable. It just felt like plastic on the eyes. So when you think plastic, you think uncomfortable, you think stiff. So we're like, hey, let's start to source different materials to see what we can make to make the product better. So we started sourcing and we ended up at a cruelty-free mink animal product. And so it's actually real hair. So we decided to enter the market with truly a luxury lash product that never existed before. So traditionally lashes, the drugstore brand, for example, would sell for $5 to $6 a pair. We entered the market really disrupting the lash space by pricing it at $30. So you made a lot of people, you know, like your response was shocked at that kind of price point. How can one pair of lashes be $30? With that said, there was a ton of points of difference. So number one, one pair of our lashes can be reused. So unlike the $6 pair of lashes, which is disposable, our lashes can be reused about 20 to 25 times. So there really is that value proposition for it being reusable. On top of that, you have natural hair. It feels so much lighter, it's so much more comfortable, and it just looks so much better on the eyes because it looks like real hair rather than plastic. So with those kind of few points of difference, we really were able to get the attention of consumers, mainly because they were all asking, what does this $30 lash do? So that's really how it started.
So you use social media brilliantly. You've got a great following now. I've started following you guys. And I'm sure people are wondering, why are you following the eyelash business? But I just found that, you know, what I've learned of your business is very interesting. And I love how you're using social media. What are some of the things you did early on in your social media success?
Yeah, so Velour is 7 years old now. And 7 years ago, the social media and the influencer landscape was completely different. So very early on, we recognized that with zero marketing dollars as part of our launch plan, we actually had to market in a very affordable way. So we recognized very quickly the trends in YouTube. We saw that everyone was really starting to become an influencer in their own way. So, you know, a girl that loved makeup or she worked at MAC, she decided to start to do videos on YouTube and she became the expert. So we recognized that very early on and started partnerships with these influencers. Back then they had about 100,000 followers, which is a lot on YouTube, still is. So we partnered with them, we sent products out to them and saying, hey, if you love the product, talk about it. We didn't have to pay them any money. And we really believed in our product that it was truly something different and something to be talked about. And so we sent it to about 100 influencers around the world. So we got influencers such as Goss, makeup artist from the UK, which is huge, and we love him. And then you have amazing celebrities now, like Jaclyn Hill, who's a YouTube celebrity in her own right, and she still is a partner of ours. And these influencers have really helped us grow the brand globally, really.
You got lucky. And how did Beyonce become one of your influencers, and what have you learned from it?
Yeah, Beyonce is probably the best influencer a brand could get. So for us, we actually got very lucky in a sense that very early on in the first year, we decided to do trade shows. So there's this one trade show called International Makeup Artist Trade Show, IMATS. And this was catered to specialty makeup artists, for example. And so we decided to exhibit at this show. And we were very lucky because at that show was actually Beyonce's makeup artist. And so one day she was on tour with Beyonce. I think they were in Atlantic City doing a concert. And People Magazine was actually backstage interviewing this makeup artist. And at that moment, the makeup artist actually said, Beyonce buys Velour lashes by the ton. And that statement was actually the headline to the People Magazine article. And immediately, I think this was like less than a year since we launched. So it was almost immediate success. Our social media took off. A ton of celebrity makeup artists reached out to us and asked us to use our product on their celebrities. And so it really became the snowball effect. And I think that article just allowed us to really grow our brand on a global scale.
Was this how you segued, or had you segued already into a relationship with Sephora? You know, I know you launched initially your own e-commerce platform, but you started to you build a relationship with Sephora?
Yeah, so with the growth in social media, I think we're at about 360,000 followers now on Instagram. Sephora really took notice because we were really creating a niche market in the luxury lash space, which did not exist in Sephora. So 2015, Sephora actually recognized what we were doing on social media and all the growth in the luxury lash space. So they reached out to us and asked us to be the lash brand to really build out that category for them.
And how much, you know, your own personal brand, I'm sure you've kind of grown your own personal influence. What is the relationship between your personal brand and the organization's brand, and do you try to keep them separate?
So in the beauty industry, it is actually pretty important to have that founder story. I'm actually a very shy founder, and so we could do this a lot better, but for me, I really do like keeping my personal life separate. And I get this like spiel every single time that I need to put myself out there more as a founder, tell my story out there more. And I'm starting to do that now, but it is a place that's very unnatural for me. Makes me very nervous. And the internet could be a really mean place, right? And so I think to put yourself out there and your family and your friends and your life out there as a founder is very intimidating and scary. So I hope that this year and the next, and moving forward, I can start really getting comfortable with that, because I do have a really good story to tell, and I wish I could tell it better to people and to more people, but the nerves definitely get to me.
Well, since you're opening up a little bit, what's one thing we should know about you? Let's say we go behind the brand. What is one thing people should know about this founder, you?
I truly love learning. Like, I am such a business person, and I light up when anyone asks me about business. I love the makeup industry, but it's what has really grown for Velour is our willingness to really hustle and work hard and learn everything we had to do to build a business. Like, that's what I thrive off of. That's what I love talking about. So as a founder, I won't be your makeup pro. I actually am not a makeup artist. I only know false eyelashes well. Other than that, I have no idea how to formulate a foundation, for example. For me, I know business, and I love business. And I think that's what makes me different from most founders in the cosmetic industry. A lot of them started in makeup, and they created the line that they loved using, for example. But for me, I actually started in business. I come from a business school background, and then I really made my passion a business.
So we here at MIT's Marketing Innovation class at their executive program, tell us a bit about what you learn in this program and what you plan to take away.
So I felt like coming out of this program, I really learned the framework of marketing. Even though I was in business school, they really don't teach you how to put it into practice. And so everything that we've done at Velour was really a trial. And thankfully, we did it right. I don't have a really strong marketing background, but I know my product well. I also know how the consumer thinks, or at least how our audience thinks. But to put it in a kind of in a school setting and really learn, you know, the framework of marketing, that really has helped. So for example, like pricing, that was one thing that really helped kind of solidify my guesses as to whether or not adding 99 cents makes sense at the end, for example. So that's been really helpful.
Yeah. Awesome. And then you plan to at some stage visit South Africa. What do you hope to experience?
I think I don't even know what to expect. It's just something that's so different from, you know, what I'm used to. I'm from Toronto, Canada. I would love to experience Cape Town, do a safari out there, of course. But really just get an inside look into the culture itself. Like, I love meeting the locals. I just love, you know, seeing, you know, the food scene. Like, I'm a huge foodie, so I'm very excited for that. And of course, the scenery.
Well, all the best with Velour, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next time you see a woman wink or bat her eyelashes, you'll appreciate that those gestures were part of behavior fueling a billion-dollar industry. And since fake eyelashes were first invented by American film director D.W. Griffith in 1916, this 102-year-old industry is being led by entrepreneurs such as Mabel Lee. Thanks so much for your work, Mabel. Hope to see you in South Africa soon. We'll be back next week with part two of our MIT Sloan School of Management series with leading global personal brand voices. Make sure you subscribe, rate us, and comment. When you rate us, the algorithms promote us for others to be able to find the show.
This is CliffCentral.com.